Our text today is part of the lesson which was read earlier. I'd like to read it in another translation, Acts 10, 44 to 48. While Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those hearing the word. Those who were from the circumcised believers, as many as had come with Peter, marveled that even upon the nations the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured, for they heard them speaking in tongues and magnifying God. Then Peter responded, "Can the water be withheld from those who are not baptized, but who received the Holy Spirit just as we did?" He commanded them in the name of Jesus Christ to be baptized. Then they asked him to stay for a few days. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At times in the past, I would be driving my family somewhere when all of a sudden I would announce to them that we were on an adventure. "Oh no, not an adventure," the kids would scream. For some reason, they did not like adventures. Somehow they equated with being on an adventure with being lost. Perhaps it was a matter of perspective. Yes, I did not necessarily know where I was, but I did know what my destination was, and I had every confidence that I would eventually get there. Sure, it might take a little longer to get to my destination, and it might take us over some unfamiliar terrain, but oftentimes we would end up seeing things we had never seen before. I remember once in Winfield, Kansas, we were on an adventure, and somehow we ended up on the top of a hill on a dirt road overlooking the Walnut River Valley. It was beautiful. Had we not been on an adventure, we would have never experienced it. Today I want to look at three biblical adventures. Viewed from one perspective, it probably looked as if everything was lost and chaotic. The whole world seemed to be going topsy-turvy. But viewed from another perspective, these were wonderful, miraculous adventures. Today we celebrate Mother's Day. So I want to look at the adventure that the mother of our Lord undertook. When she went to visit Elizabeth, she says, "For he alone who shows such might has done amazing things to me." Indeed, what God had told her and what he had done with her was miraculous. The angel Gabriel had told her, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." Now, I'm pretty certain that Mary might have thought in her mind, "Wait a second. I've been a good girl. This is going to ruin my reputation." And she asks out loud, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" The answer, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." And that was the start of a grand adventure that would take the young girl from her hometown of Nazareth to far away Bethlehem to give birth among livestock. She would be visited by rough and tumble shepherds and mysterious magi from the east. She would flee to Egypt before returning home to Nazareth. She would about lose her son on a trip to Jerusalem in his 12th year and would eventually see him die upon a cross when he was in the prime of life. She would hear of his resurrection and ascension to heaven. Yes, because of the Holy Spirit, she would have quite an adventurous life. And what about the disciples who saw Jesus fly into the air at Ascension? Ascension Day is this Thursday. It sounds from Acts as if they were somewhat concerned at this turn of events, for while they stood there looking up into the sky, two angels have to reassure them. They ask, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? That same Jesus who you have seen taken from you into heaven will come back at the same in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." So this miraculous sign would be followed someday by another miraculous sign of him returning. And that pretty marks the age of the church, from when they saw him go into heaven to when he comes again. It was astonishing, and it was a cause of concern. After all, they weren't Jesus. They had seen the greatest of miracles during Jesus' life, culminating with his resurrection from the dead and now his flying away to heaven. What might await them? Persecution? Yes. Suffering? Yes. Crucifixion? In many cases, yes. Crowns of thorn and thrones in heaven? Certainly. While I am sure that the disciples were concerned about what would happen to them now that they didn't have Jesus around anymore, when viewed from another perspective, they were all about to embark on some wonderful adventures. Jesus had told them just before he ascended, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Their future would be very adventurous. They would tell about this Jesus through the known world at that time. They would perform miracles, undergo suffering, and even write down words that would inspire people for millennia. Whose fault was this? The Holy Spirit, who led them to the places they were to minister, who comforted them in the midst of their persecutions, and who gave them the words to write and preach. Yes, the amazing Spirit had moved them to follow Jesus and would guide them through the great adventures that constituted the apostolic age. And then there is the text I just read. Here was a mind-blowing experience. Prior to our text, Peter is instructed by the Holy Spirit to go with three men who had been sent by Cornelius to bring him to Caesarea to preach to him, his family, and his friends. Peter goes and begins preaching to them. But as soon as he has shared the good news about Jesus Christ with them, the Holy Spirit falls upon the entire crowd, and everyone there is speaking in tongues and magnifying God. The six Jews who had accompanied Peter from Joppa are flabbergasted. How could the Holy Spirit come upon uncircumcised flesh? Yet here was the proof. Peter and the Jews knew what it meant. God didn't just want the message about Jesus Christ to be shared with the Jews of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all over the world. He wanted that message to go to every human in the entire world. Suddenly, the magnitude of the adventure upon which Peter and his fellow apostles were engaged had grown from a narrow parochial concern for one ethnic group to become a global task to take in all people. Who was responsible for expanding their vision to include everyone in the entire world? It was the Holy Spirit, who made it plain by visions and his manifestations on these Gentile believers that the gospel was for everyone. While many Jews of the Jewish Christians viewed this development as a quandary, which eventually required a council of the church to resolve, this really was the opening up of an adventure we are still engaged in today, the bringing of the good news to everyone in the world. What about you and your life? What perspective are you using to confront the challenges of your life? Are they difficulties or adventures? Would the death of your husband or wife mean the end of any reason for living or to undertake a new phase of your life where you might be able, if you undertook these new adventures, that you perhaps couldn't do because of your being married? Does a divorce mean that you always have to take the back seat in church affairs, or might it eventually lead to you becoming involved in mission activities that you previously could not consider? If you experience a health crisis, does that put you on your backs for weeks so that you feel that you spend all your time fretting about the disease or the problem? Or does it give you time to devote to praying for all the many people and the missions of the church and the concerns that the world needs for prayer? With the Spirit's guidance and support, we can carry on. Mary did not have an abortion to deal with the unplanned pregnancy she experienced. The apostles did not lock the doors and refrain from going out into the streets when they began to speak in tongues at Pentecost after the Holy Spirit had fell upon them. Rather, they went out as directed by the Spirit and shared their faith, even though it led some people to believe that they were drunk. And the Jews who saw those Roman Christians speaking in tongues and glorifying God did not seek to explain away how God could not have possibly been given to these uncircumcised Gentiles the Holy Spirit. No, Mary was open to the Spirit engendering within her the Son of God. She says, "May it be to me as you have said." And the apostles at Pentecost run out into the street when they receive the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had promised them, and are so filled with joy that they testify to the greatness of God that some of the observers declare that these guys are obviously drunk. And in the case of Cornelius and his friends, when they receive the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues along with Peter and his companions, they are immediately baptized, no questions asked. Are we open to the Spirit and its leading? Do we look on the challenges that hit us as catastrophes that must be corrected, or opportunities that God is providing for us? And furthermore, how can we get this Holy Spirit that enabled Mary, the apostles, and the Gentiles of Caesarea to become such adventurers? We can get it through the Spirit by listening to the Word of God. Mary heard the Word of God when the angel Gabriel told her that the child would be the Son of the Most High, who would reign over the house of Jacob forever. The apostles had heard Jesus tell them that they were going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit in order to be able to be witnesses to what he had done throughout the world. And the Gentiles and Jews who heard Peter declare that the Jews had killed Jesus, but that God had raised him from the dead on the third day, so that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins, had heard and believed that word of God that creates faith and endows the believer with the Holy Spirit. Indeed, the Word of God named Jesus Christ had engaged in the greatest adventure of all. He had left his heavenly home to come to this pitiful planet. He had entered into the body of a baby and been born. He had fled with his new family to Egypt and returned to his human parents' home. He had seen the heavens open and the Holy Spirit descend upon him. He had heard the voice of God declare that he was his beloved Son. He had been privileged to heal the sick, raise the dead, and calm the seas. What an adventurous life he led. But the most astounding adventure happened that one Passover week. He had driven out of the temple the money changers. He had been captured by the Jewish establishment, tortured by their minions, tried before the Sanhedrin and sentenced to death by the Roman governor. He had experienced the extreme pain that only those who have been crucified really understand. And he alone, among all the living, felt the flames of hell as he died for everyone's sins and was forsaken by God. How many crucified people had ever walked out of the tomb alive? How many had ever gone to hell to proclaim the victory over God's chief adversary? How many had ever ascended to heaven to take their rightful place at the right hand of God? What great adventures! And they had all begun when the Holy Spirit had come upon Mary. Sure, his adventures involved pain and suffering as well as eternal bliss and supreme joy. But one thing is certain, the Holy Spirit had called him to a life of adventure. And the same is true of us. Where is God calling you to go? How is he at work to change your attitudes and improve your character? What gifts is he giving you to serve the church? And what about us as a group, as Trinity? What new adventures await us as we grow to a new level here at Trinity? What exciting things await this congregation as it considers God's will for us? Pastor Kent has asked us to come to him. There's probably some sheets back there today for you to sign up for some times. And he said that if those times don't work, put your name and number down and he'll call you and find out a time that works, because he wants to hear from you where you see God leading the church, to know what we need to do to become better servants of the Lord, what we need to heal among ourselves, what we see as our mission to go forward. So that is what you can do. You are, as members of this church, to be adventurers. And we're in an adventure together as we now seek a new pastor in the coming year or so, that we can continue to grow and carry the gospel of Christ to people in this area. So whatever it comes about, I'm sure it will surprise and astound us. So what attitude will you assume when you face life's challenges? When you take a wrong turn, do you fret because you are lost, or do you see it as a new adventure which can lead you to see new things and enjoy new experiences? When the direction of your life suddenly changes, do you see it as something evil, or do you see it as an opportunity to explore new possibilities? And that applies, of course, to mothers. The motherhood begins with an adventure in pregnancy, something that people like me, males, will never truly understand. And through that adventure comes a baby, and that baby enters our family, whether through birth or through adoption, and the whole adventure of choosing that child that God wants to be in our family through adoption. But that's just the beginning of the adventure, because the adventure continues on then for the rest of the parent's life, for the mother's life, because of her care for that child and children, and for their growing up and perhaps becoming grandparents or great-grandparents, and those relationships to help form the future. It's an adventure. When my children would become scared because I had announced that we were on an adventure, it didn't become a time for me to stew and fret. You know, I always made it to my intended destination. It is the same way in this life for all of us Christians. You know where you are headed. You know that through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and because of the salvation that is ours because of Jesus Christ, you will make it there. The only question is the route we take to get to that home. And ultimately, we don't determine that route. God does. We're there to enjoy the adventure, to interact as we are on that adventure, and then to be thankful once the adventure ends in a good outcome that is eternal. Amen. And now may the peace that surpasses all human understanding stand guard over your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.